Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Mental Mobility Podcast. This is episode number 105, and we have, as always, a special guest. But this one is a guy that actually has taken me down, choked me, knee-barred me as a white belt, punched me, clinched me, but also showed lots of love. He also learned a lot. He's very open to coaching. He's very open to learning, even though he probably knows everything. I'm not going to lie. And those are the best people, right? The people that are very open to learning something new, that kind of keep their guard down and allow things to happen in life. And this man, his name is Jason Melendez. Quick story before he talks and you see him. I think you can see him. He's dressed up. He's an officer. But when we first met, I really had no idea who this guy was. And I was like, all right, I'm at my brother's gym. And he signed up at my brother's gym. And for me, I was just coaching, doing like the strength and conditioning portion. And then he stepped into my class with, I think I had like six women and like a teenager. And then he came in and was like, hey, I want to work out with you. And I was like, why do you have to work out? You know, in my head, there's no reason for this fucking guy to work out. He's chiseled. He's like 6 foot. He's a handsome guy and he can fight and he's in really good shape. But that showed me how much, I guess, how vulnerable he can be or how open he can be by not caring that he's working out and learning next to a 50-year-old woman. You know, it didn't really, like a lot of people, a lot of guys, especially that are in shape, have tons of ego, right? You go to the gym, they won't even let you get a set in. They won't even let you use the bench. They actually won't even help you. But this guy right here, he's just did what I said, took a lot of tips, tweaked his stuff, and you know, he's really one of the best students you could ever have. So, Jason, say hello to the audience.
What's going on, guys? Jason, sheriff, fighter, person, vulnerable person.
Quiet, right?
Yeah.
Quiet. He's a quiet introvert. Would you consider yourself introvert?
Yes and no. I have like, I guess you want to say like quote unquote mask sometimes depending on like what the crowd is or, but originally I was always an introvert because I just had no confidence in myself. So eventually I started to grow out of my shell. It started with sports and then, slowly from there, I started to find out who I was and find out my personality and what made me differentiate myself from everybody else. But I was an introvert in the beginning, still am. But when I'm with people that I actually enjoy being around, then the extrovert comes out. And you guys already know how that is. So
right.
Just high energy. Yeah.
It's very true. She's very calm and conservative. I would even say just respectful. And then when it's time to play, it's time to play. You know, it's like, especially when they're your friends or people that you kind of feel comfortable with or even trust, then that's it. So that's really a great characteristic about you. You said you're a sheriff. When I met you, you were not. When did you join the force?
So I joined the force approximately 2 years ago. This is when pretty much you were already gone. You were in Vegas. I want to say it was about almost a year into being in Bucktown. I was already still training too. I was still training while I was in the police academy. So I'll finish training at the academy, then I'll come to Bucktown to do like jiu-jitsu or whatever, which was like kind of frowned upon because they didn't want us to be hurt or whatever the case may be. Mm. But yeah, about 2 years ago.
Wow, I remember that. You'd have to train like 10 hours and then come and train until late and then go to the gym afterwards, correct? And then you go like lift too at some point. So I remember you did that too.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, depending on how sore I was from the academy.
Right. And what was the question I had? Where was it? I had a question that popped up in my head about the force and, oh yeah. You were in shape and you went into academy. I kind of remember this part. And when you were in academy, you had to do a lot of running, or I don't remember the I guess, the protocol for sheriff's department, police, and firemen. I always worked with firemen. I never actually worked too much with officers or police officers or sheriff's department. Can you kind of describe what that was like or what you had to do to prepare?
So the basis guideline was pretty much running a mile and a half at a certain amount of time, which is about 15:55. Push-ups, sit-ups, occasionally some pull-ups as well. But they don't really test you that. They don't test for that in the physical. Yeah, I know. We do it in the military, but they don't do it for us, you know. But
got
it is what it is. So we would do the mile and a half, the push-ups and sit-ups, and then that's it. That was like our base, like physical requirements.
Okay, so just basic standard reps and time.
Yeah, but I didn't really do much of like getting ready because I always ran and I always tried to like. I think it started. It definitely started being more apparent that I was just getting really, really strong with when I was training with you because I was picking your brain every single class.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to figure out like the anatomy of the body. Why does this workout correlate to this specific body part? And just use that. And then when I'm doing certain workouts or whatever the case may be, I'm just so much more aware. So now when it comes to training, I'm very strategic in what I do. But for the academy, I was just running a bunch, doing a bunch of push-ups, sit-ups, and then just working out with you guys, just jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. I think that's the best way to organically just get your body stronger. You don't have to do the baseline that they give you. A lot of people, they follow that mode, and they stress themselves out. Because they're not hitting certain numbers, you know?
Right.
You just come in to train, and then organically, you'll start seeing results without having to have specific markers in certain times and sections of the week or the days and everything like that. Because you start thinking about that, and now you're like, oh, I'm not hitting this goal, so what am I doing? And then you're going to bring all these negative thoughts in your head, and then now before you know it, you're like, oh, so now I'm gonna fail the academy or whatever the case may be. Yeah. Regardless of the fact, they're going to fuck with you from day one to the end. So the very first day I was in the academy, I was late. It was a rainstorm. I didn't have a rain jacket. I was the only one that was late, and I'm the only one that doesn't have a rain jacket. So I stood out there by like with everybody, the single person with no rain jacket, getting soaked. And once they came out and they just spread out and they started harassing everybody, they came to me first because I was late. I had no rain jacket. They made me lay down on the ground and do rain angels. Then they told me I got to run up the hill first, and I got to be the first one back. I mean, first one up the hill and then the first one back down the hill. If not, everyone's going to do it all over again. So, I mean, I was already forced to perform at the first day. So,
yeah, that would be an easy marker for the only person that's soaking wet. They're definitely going to pull you through, but. You know, like you say, I always believe that I forgot what it was is like being prepared before having to be prepared is always at least halfway there. You know what I mean?
That's exactly.
I believe. Yeah, for sure. I'm sure that's the same mindset you have. You're just saying it's like be in shape. You know, it doesn't mean you have to have a test or a skill or have that marker, which you may mess your head up with. You know, I'm sure half of the recruits lost it because they didn't believe that they can do it because they weren't able to do it, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, just walk in. And a lot of people wait the last minute. And as I crank and I train a lot of firefighters, like it's, you know, they're people that kind of have no direction of where they really want to go. Some of them don't really want to be a firefighter, but it's a great job, right? It's a great, it's a very, I don't fucking know the word, honorable.
Task or
position. But like, tell me you have 2 weeks left before your academy or your test is fucking ridiculous.
It's nuts.
You're nuts. Like I had to say no, because I was like, listen, I don't know what I can tell you, but I'll give you a sheet and then you got to do this by yourself because I can't take the responsibility of you failing. You have 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
Go run. I don't know what else you can do. You know, it really surprised me how people wait till the last minute rather than just be a little prepared. You know, have some know-how. Everyone knows you're going to take a test at some point. So Like, why would you even do that? But you know, that's some people. It's
Yeah.
just not us. And that's all. And that's
No,
all.
definitely
So
not.
here's a question. You're in the sheriff's department now, but why a fighter? This is now what we're talking. Why a fighter?
Yeah. So originally, I started off. So let's go back to when I was 7 years old. So I'm 7 years old. I'm living with my mom, so I'm living with my brother, and then my dad. Mind you, this is the last year I've seen my dad, and I've never seen him since. So there's a lot of domestic violence going on in the house. In my head, I'm thinking I seen my brother try to defend my mother. So I always mirrored my brother in pretty much every aspect, what he wore, what he did, how he talked, you know, how he even ate. Like he'll always have a fork and a knife. Like he'll eat a pizza with a fork and a knife at one point. I was like, I'm gonna fucking do that shit too, you know? So my brother was my father figure growing up. And at that age, you know, it's very crucial. You know, if especially when you're seeing domestic violence, you're seeing violence on a daily basis. Coming back from school, sometimes you want to stay in school longer because you don't want to come home to see what you're gonna. You already know what you're gonna see. So my brother will always defend my mother, and I felt hopeless because I wasn't able to do the same exact thing. So I was being bullied a lot in school too. Because I was an introvert. I was very shy. I didn't know how to express myself because I'm dealing with stuff at home, and I'm not trying to bring it into school. Subconsciously, I didn't know that. And when people would ask me if I'm okay, and then I would say I'm fine. Obviously, that's a mirror, and I was portraying someone that was always good. So I always try to make people laugh. Always try to make people feel comfortable because it made me feel better. And it made me not think about my problems. So I was always bullied in school, and at a point I was fearful of going to school now too. So I'm scared of coming back home. I'm scared of going to school. So I was like, I need to find some type of way to be able to defend myself or just have confidence. So I started watching a lot of like martial arts movies, like Jackie Chan movies. Bruce Lee movies and stuff like that, and I just started like mirroring what they were doing and stuff like that. And eventually, I put myself in one of the like a karate class, and then you know they're all in rows, and they're all just saying the same thing. They're like kia, and they're throwing like a right cross or whatever the case may be. So I was like, all right, shit, I'm about to kia this guy when I come to school the next day. So I had just like a sliver of confidence in me. So I went to the bathroom. I knew the guy was coming to come follow me into the stall, and throw water on me, kick me into the stall, or whatever the case may be. So I turned around and I was like, "Kia!" I hit him in the chest. He like nudged back a little bit. He laughed, punched me straight in the nose. And then I was like, in my head now, I'm like, I'm crying. So now I'm like, damn, karate doesn't work. So now I got to think about something else. So now I got to hide this injury from my mother, which obviously didn't work because I stood in the bathroom for like probably like 30 minutes, but my nose is purple. So I was like, what can I do? So I told the teacher that I fell in the bathroom. So I was always pretty much just trying to portray that I was fine. I was fine. I was fine.
Right.
So then eventually we fast forward to middle school, and I see a lot of kids like boxing and stuff like that. And I always was intrigued when I was watch fights because and anybody really would like be intrigued of a fight. Everybody's eyes circled to it. So me, I was always like, wow, how is this guy so confident enough to throw this punch and try to hit this guy or whatever the case may be? I'm just like super fascinated. Sometimes I see girls fighting guys, and so I'm just like, this is nuts. And I was always fascinated. So right around the corner from my middle school, there was a boxing gym. I went in there. I would tell my mom that I'm going to the after school program inside of school, but really I would just go around the corner and go into the boxing gym, and I'll just learn how to fight. Yeah. So,
Nice.
Yeah. So, the very first time I got in there, I was given these nice, sweaty old gloves, and then they were weird. They looked like mittens. That's how old they were. They were mittens. Like they didn't curl in. They were just straight flat.
Just straight flat. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you squeeze your hands, then you see. But like you see, like the leather kind of like ripping off. Eventually, I started getting confidence, and then it transferred over to in high school when we used to be in the cafeteria, and then we used to have like a little spreadsheet, And then we used to write all our names, and then we used to pitch in $20 and like, all right, this guy's gonna fight this guy, like kind of like a Mortal Kombat ladder. And then whoever wins at the end, they get the money at the end. So
Oh, nice.
yeah, so I would save up my allowance. My mom would give me $5 every single day for school because we had to pay for lunch. So sometimes I wouldn't eat just to fight, you know, so or save up my money. So
Build up the
I
pot.
saved up. Yeah, so 4 days I saved up. And then the fifth day I was like, all right, I'm gonna probably like trade for like a chocolate milk or something. So that way I'm Gucci for the fight later on. Because we will fight on Fridays. So we'll go up the hill and then we'll put out the boxing gloves and then we'll just start scrapping. I remember that's when I really felt like I was like, all right, like I feel like I can like I feel confident now. Because I used to win. And then that's the first time I bought my first set of Guitar Hero. And I was like, yo, this is, I was like, let's go. Like, let's freaking go.
That's right. Fighting,
Yeah.
win money, Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero. Yeah. Bro, it was like the best. It was the best. Like, I never had $200 in my hands. Like, until I had like a refund check from college.
Got it.
That's, yeah. So it's just like seeing $200 in my hands was like, damn. And I earned this too. Like, I had like blood coming out of my ears and stuff like that. So I would come home and I would have like my hoodie on and stuff like that. I'll go straight to my room, won't show my mom nothing. And every time I talk to her, I always talk to her with my left side always like covered. Even too, like I have a black eye right now, and I won't show my mom because she's just gonna be like, you know how parents are, they're old school, so they're gonna be like, oh, like you're doing this for nothing, you know,
You're
like you're
right.
getting hurt for free, X, Y, and Z. So it's just like
Right.
to save the conversation, you know, just like don't even like try to throw like any type of fuel to her fire. So
Yeah, it's like your
yeah
I'm okay. Like, you know, it's the
yeah
same thing. Like, I'm okay. Don't worry
yeah
about it. I'm
yeah
okay.
yeah I'm
No one
good.
needs to
yeah
see
yeah
nothing, right? Same
exactly exactly yeah
attitude. That's a great one. That's a great.
yeah
I'm sure it runs down to more and more. But more presently, you are training. Where's culture? Is it culture? What's a new MMA gym?
I've only been there once, and
Okay.
that was to do a private session with Richie, the main coach.
Got it. The
Just
Kings.
because, and then I'm at King's Willie B. That's my main gym with Danny and Maggie.
Right. Yeah, the
Yeah,
best.
hell yeah,
The best. The
yeah,
best.
yeah, yeah,
Very good. Very good.
yeah.
And you have anything, nothing for the next couple months? I know you're taking off from actually competing, as they would say, and just taking time to train as well.
Yeah, just work around the injury. Danny and Maggie, we already sat down. We reviewed the fight, pros, cons, what my opponent did well, what I thought I could implement into my game. And then we working on just pretty much adding to my game already. So I'm already good in the clinch.
Right.
I have good hands, good kicks and stuff like that. I just wanted to be able to start faster and
Gotcha.
in the first round, so that way I can sustain that throughout the entire round. Because sometimes in my head I'm like, I don't want to show that I'm tired, so like I'll kind of take more time to like diagnose what the guy is giving me and stuff like that. Sometimes I'll let him hit me here and there so that I can see how much sting he has on his punches or his kicks and stuff like that, and just build up a lot of like information. And then second round and third round I turn it on, and that's when I pretty much take over. But I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to just start from the very first round and then just keep it going.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It makes
Yeah.
sense because sometimes you got to feel them out, right? And I guess the only way to feel out
Yeah.
a person is to allow
Yeah.
them in, right? Or allow her
Yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And that. So we're gonna stray away a little bit from the training, but can you tell me a story? Obviously, it's for mental health, but how has exercise helped you? It sounds like you already told me that story, but if there's another one you have, from a from more current time, how has exercise and working out and training helped you mentally and your mental well-being?
Well, I think I can speak for pretty much everyone that works out. When you're having either like a shitty day or you feel like you just feel like you're just not having like a really good day, like if you just go for like a run or a walk outside, you just start getting like building up a sweat, after you're done, like when you do something like challenging or somewhat, what's the word? Yeah, something that's just gonna
Challenging.
give you, yeah, something challenging. Something challenging is gonna just, it's just gonna be like the best feeling ever afterwards. You just feel super satisfied, and then I just don't know what it does. Like just running or training in general, it just keeps me like level, you know? Like if I come out of a 12-hour shift, yeah, I'm thinking about going to sleep, but I'm thinking like, wow, I ate all this food, you know, at work and stuff like that. I've been sitting in this car for 12 hours. I haven't been able to stretch. Like my legs are getting sore, they're getting swollen. I gotta go to the gym. I gotta sweat it out, you know, or I gotta do something to make it seem that, you know, like I won the day, you know. Like, yeah, I'm just going to work, but that's just regular shit, you know. I gotta feel like I won the day, you know. And that's what I do every single day. Like, even if I'm not training, but I'm still doing something. I'm stretching, I'm doing mobility or something like that. Just keeping myself active, because at the end of the day, we're not getting old, we're not getting younger, we're just getting older. So our body's gonna start to slowly tighten up. So I don't wanna have a short career. Like I already got this one injury, and that's just for me from constantly not hearing myself out and not having that conversation with myself and being like, okay, I had three or four fights in the span of a year. All right, maybe I could take some time, reflect on these couple of fights, build up on what I did good, build up my weaknesses, and then probably like 4 months, 5 months later, then I'll hit two or three more fights. But that wasn't the case. So I want to be more smart. I want to be more smart, more strategic with my days too. Like I don't have to always go balls to the wall every single day. I want to at least do something productive, you know? And that goes to like when I set goals for the day too. So I write my goals on Saturdays, and then I reflect back on the next Saturday, and then I review. So I think about, all right, so I trained on Monday and Tuesday on my days off. Wednesday I worked, but what did I do that day? I stretched, or I went on the light jog, and then I meditated, or whatever the case may be. Like I'm always adding something to what I did the previous day. And that's just how I feel like I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna separate myself from other people as well.
Yes, I think
Yeah.
everything falls into what you said before. You prepare before you have to prepare, right? Like you just
Yeah.
said, it's like you know your body's going to deteriorate. That's life. And you stretching, doing mobility, the boring stuff no one ever wants to do, correct? But you're
Yeah.
actually already implementing it now in a time of where you could even say is your prime, right? Not your
Yeah.
prime yet, but I'm just saying, like you're a lot of people don't do it at all. Most people just smoke cigarettes, eat Cheetos, right? Order McDonald's
Yeah.
and work out. It's like it doesn't,
Yeah.
I feel like you always have lived this lifestyle and it's a part of you, you know,
Yeah.
whether or not you think about it. Anyone that writes down goals and has goal-oriented structure, like you write your stuff on Saturday to see where your week is going to go. You kind of plan it out,
Yeah.
correct? And then you kind of just said it, like to win the day. And that's a very great motto because a lot of people try to win the year. People try to win the week. They try to win the month. They try to win this 3 month fat loss thing. Just win one day, you know,
Yeah.
and keep moving from there. And that really is a great takeaway is sometimes you just got to do something. It doesn't matter
Yeah.
what it is. But just know what it is you're trying to do. You know,
Yeah.
it's kind of what you said. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Let's just stop. 7 minutes left. Great. So fast. I fucking hate this
I
thing.
know, that was quick.
Crazy. We're gonna keep going. Don't worry. I'm gonna do
Yeah.
this, and then I'll send you another link, and we'll kind of just
Yeah.
run another one, just
Yeah.
so right now. Well, you already did that. How do you balance life and work? That was the answer. All right, here we go. So, what do you think has been the most influential force in your lifestyle, inside your life? You know, you could do three, one, whatever it is. What do you think is
Yeah.
the most influential to you?
I think it's the people that you meet that make a positive influence in your life. And then just for example, me coming into Bucktown, and even before that, previously, I was on a master scavenger hunt trying to find a gym, a home, because my last previous gym that I had, it just I knew I wanted to fight, but I wasn't getting the right coaching, the right time, and the effort being thrown onto me that I was giving into the gym, and I just had enough. So I ventured off, and then I found Bucktown, and then I met you guys. And then it's really a credit to you guys, because before that, I was just a very egotistic, self-centered person. And to see everybody that was in the gym have different personalities but still had the same mindset that, everybody was working towards something or trying to help somebody else, but at the same time, it was what you guys would say. It was what you guys would do. It's the way you guys expressed, the way you guys cared, And then I never really got that a lot, especially like growing up. So it was new to me, and I was just like, wow, what is this? And then I felt it the very first day of like just open house, I forgot his last name is Paterno. I forgot his he's or I forgot his name, but he's a Filipino kid, blue belt. He was showing me jujitsu moves and stuff like that. And I was just like, wow, like I was like it just opened up my mind. And then when I came home, I'm just like damn, this is where I want to be, Like I signed up right then and there before I left, And I was like that's when I started to realize like this is my home, yeah, I have a home at my actual home, but I still feel disconnected from my family. And I felt like I was I this is what love really felt like. And then that's what I knew. So and it was just and then just from the span of how long we've known each other, I feel like I've grown so much. And in that short amount of time, imagine if I would have met you guys earlier. Like I just I like or I don't even know. It was just like I was just like mind blown. I was like, this is how re like this is how love really should feel. And I was like, these guys, like I actually care about these people, and I want to do the best I can do. Oh, the best I could be. I want to be the best person I could possibly be for these people. And whatever I can give to give back to the gym, I was super willing to do it, because you guys poured so much into me, the students, the parents, the kids, And it was just like it was just organic. Everything was organic. You felt the energy in there. There was no negative vibes. Everybody was always helping each other. It was always a good time. Even if we're choking each other out, we're punching each other, like afterwards, we still embrace, we still hug, And
Course.
I was just, it was new. It was new. It was something new, And it's something that I still carry right now. Like after the training sessions, even if I didn't spar with you, or I didn't hold pads with you, or I didn't say hi to you in the beginning of the class, I still like at the end, I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you. And it's just stuff that you guys instilled in me that I'll carry on, not only in my fighting career, my martial arts journey, but in this job as well, just in the normal day life, And it's a credit to you guys, because you guys really instill things and core values that I never was taught as a kid,
Oh, thank you.
So,
That's great, man. Thank you. It's a, I'm sure Jay would appreciate that too. But it's very true. When you are not exposed to certain things, certain feelings, certain emotions, it just becomes like whatever you believe life was going to be. And a perfect, like what another story that I remember from you was not only just, having fun and training, and you listen so well. Like even though you can jump the highest box jump, you still took every little piece of advice, right? And even if there was nothing to do, there's like, no, that was actually really good. You're like, no, it's gotta be, you always very attend you had a lot of attention to detail. But even more so, I remember I did a nutrition seminar, and Jay was like, just can you come in and talk? I was like, yeah, that's no problem. I'll give you everything I got. And you came out to me and you're like, why did you give that to us for free? I was like, because it'll help you. I just want you to know that you could always come to me and ask me any question, and I'm most likely will have the answer. If not, I'll find it. And you're like, I've never seen that before. Every other gym I go to, I have to like sit down, consultation, they're trying to sell me something, do this, sell me something. It's like, you just gave me like a year's worth of advice for free. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I just think it'll help you. So that's it. And that's a story that really stuck with me to the point where how almost not, you just never saw that. You know what I mean? It's almost like it was new for someone to do something for free without having to ask for something in exchange. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. That's definitely a story that sticks out from me to you. So Jay, where can the people find you?
So I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. No Twitter handle. But my Instagram is going to be J_aesthetics. And then with 3 S's. I'm actually going to change my name. My girlfriend gave me like a really, really good idea.
Tell me.
So she told me after the fight, when actually the announcer was asking me the same exact question. They're like, "Oh, where can people reach you?" You know, and it came off hard. Like even right now, trying to describe my actual Instagram name. So she was just saying, like, "Why don't you just change your name to I am Jason Melendez?" You know, like, and then because they're like, at the end of the day, it's just they're like, people already know, like, in the Muay Thai community, they already know like you as like the chef or whatever, but they don't know, like, they don't really like know your name, you know? They always say like, "Oh, the blonde guy, the guy with the blonde hair," you know? So, I guess it'll be easier if I just change my name to I am Jason Lemon. So I'll be changing it, but my Instagram is J_aesthetics with 3 S's. Well, that's the easiest way. It finally took a while to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Listen, sometimes you don't know where you are, which is cool that they actually allow you to change your handles, you know? So that's very, very, very great. Because what if you put one thing? I have so many emails. I have 1,000 emails because I've thought of one thing. And then I was like, "Oh, this is going to be the best idea." Then 2 months later, it's like, "This is not a good idea." And then, you know, you just keep jumping into the next thing. But that's a great one. I am Jason Melendez. I hope it's available. I'm sure it is.
I hope so too.
And that's perfect. Like announcer's gonna, like, you're tired, right? You just fought. And now the announcer's asking where we could reach you. And now you're like, J_. Fuck, I'm tired. Could you guys it's long. It's long. But that's where, when I first met you and then I added you, I was like, "Oh, he's into the aesthetics fitness page, really trying to show people how to work out and, you know, show what you do to be fit." That's kind of where I got from that. Man. What's the league that you currently fight in for Muay Thai?
It's AFL. So it's an amateur fight league.
That's it. Amateur fight league. And he trains out of Kings in WB, right? Williamsburg?
Williamsburg.
Williamsburg. Yeah, that's a fun. Is Way there? Dave Way? Is Coach Dave Way there? Way? He's in Kings. Asian guy. Does he own it?
He's in Kings Combat, but I forgot which gym is it. Because they have like 4 or 5 now. They have one in Woodland Park. They got one Forest Hills. They got one in Rutherford. They got a bunch.
Oh, wow.
They're all over.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's good. I was like, "Cause Way, I know Way. I'm friends with Way. My wife is friends with Way. And I met Way through my wife. And he was the only guy that I knew that did Muay Thai. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially in like 2008 or 2007. I really don't mean it. I know Jay and then the 5 fighters from New Jersey and then and then Way. So I wasn't sure if that was a guy. So with what you say and what you believe and everything that you do, right? You're very consistent. You're very dedicated and you're hardworking. That's for damn sure, right? What is it that you want people that are listening to this podcast to walk away with?
Main thing is just don't be afraid to put yourself in new situations, you know? A lot of people get comfortable in certain situations, either it could be work, could be a relationship, you know? It could be anything, you know? And I'm a testament to that as well, you know? Like, sometimes you have to fail to learn and then to grow, and then on top of that, to meet the people that you actually needed in your life for you to flourish. You know, I think that that's the main thing. It started with my relationships. I literally never fixed any of my problems, so it would just be a domino effect. So I would go to the next relationship, and then the same exact problems that I had in my last one, they just resurfaced because I never took the time between these relationships to actually do the hard work, which is look at myself and try to put myself in an uncomfortable situation. And just going back to the main topic is, you know, going to therapy. You know, like I went to therapy during the police academy, just because I felt like I had a lot of anxiety built up and I didn't know why. And then it took me to talk to a complete stranger to realize that I had separation anxieties, had problems being lonely. You know, like I wouldn't go to the movie theaters by myself. I wouldn't go eat by myself. And I just felt like I just didn't love myself. You know, I loved myself when I was making other people happy, because I felt I was being purposeful, you know? So once I was able to do the hard work, I realized that maybe I don't need to be in a relationship. Maybe I need to be with myself first and then, you know, figure out who I am. And then once I figured that out and I figured out who I truly am, my weaknesses, my strengths, build myself up. And then now I can be the person that can either elevate somebody correctly instead of being the narcissist that I was in the past.
Right.
Because at in those moments, you always think that whatever you say and whatever you do is right, you know, and it's blinding good. And sometimes you can sway other people, and then before you know it, you're hurting somebody else without even knowing that you're hurting them, you know?
Yeah.
And in training, I left my gym in Jersey City to go seek new coaches, new experiences, a new home. And what I got was life changing, you know, and it was just because I put myself in a new situation. I put myself in a new environment. You know, I you gotta take risks. You gotta take risks for everything. Right. Even this fighting, even my fighting journey. Like, I don't know where I'm gonna be at 5 years from now, but I tell people what I wanna be and what I wanna accomplish, because the more you speak it, the more you think about it, the more you believe it, and then before you know it, it just starts to happen organically. So I always tell everybody. I don't tell people I wanna be pro. I'm like, no, I'm going to be pro eventually. Like, it's gonna happen. I remember Jay was telling me about my fighter profile, and I sent them that. Like, I remember the first time I told him, I was like, I want to fight. Now I'm like, the next step is I'm gonna go pro. Before, I was unsure. I was scared, you know, like even the first fight, I was super fucking scared. I didn't know what was gonna happen. So I'm always thinking about all these negative things. But if you put yourself in that situation and then you come out of it, you've learned so much more about yourself. You put yourself in that risk. And you can either drown or you could swim, but at the end of the day, you won't know until you actually try. So, the relationships, you got to put yourself out there. You got to do the hard work. You got to look at yourself. Fighting is how I found out who I was, you know?
Right.
Cause I feel like when you fight, you're not fighting the person, you're fighting yourself. You're fighting the preparation that you've done. Did you take any sidetrack? Did you sidetrack on your path? Did you take any shortcuts? Did you not complete that run? And did you lie? Like some people, they'll post like, oh, I did 4 miles, but I really took a screenshot of my three past runs or whatever.
Right.
And I'll post like it was 8 miles or whatever, you know? So like sometimes I'll lie to myself because I think I could do 8 miles, but like it's hard, you know? So in the first fight camp, I did that. Like, you know, I wanted to show everybody, yeah, I'm fucking working hard, blah, blah, blah. I'm ready. And I'm really doing like 3-4 miles when I'm really post. And then I'm posting like I did 8 or 10, you know? But, you know, like you got to put yourself, you got to be real with yourself. And
right.
The first fight camp, I was more excited because I wanted to fight, but I was lying to myself, you know? And I realized that there was a lot of things that I did wrong in the fight. Granted, it's the first fight, but. You just gotta put yourself out there, brother. Put yourself out there
easily.
easily should be a soundbite with fucking epic music behind it. I'm gonna make it happen. Because it's 100% true. I'm gonna look up, because I actually just did one, and you just said it. Finding the courage. Where is the? It's on here. I just made a podcast about exactly what you said, right? I was listening, obviously, every morning I wake up. I walk the dogs, but I don't go straight to my stuff. I plug in and I go to any motivational preaching, church, you know, it doesn't have to care. I'm not a practicing Catholic, but sometimes it's good to listen to whatever. And I listen to, I think, I don't know who fell in, you know, you get one of those montages of speeches. And pain is the best teacher. And this was like three videos in a row, kind of talking about the same thing. One they said pain is the best teacher. Two is, in order to get clarity, one must go through pain, right? And then the other one's like, pain is your friend. And it's true, exactly what you say. You got to go through these things, not almost like not caring of the outcome, because you're there to get uncomfortable, and it's going to be painful. It's going to be weird. It's going to feel stupid, right? But the more you do those things, the more you grow. It's kind of the concept that I was talking about in next week's episode, not this week's, but it's, you put some great points together, and it's almost like a great trailer for like my next week. So that was good. Now, is there anything, this way I always end, there's usually the final question is there anything that we didn't talk about that you want to share with everyone? You don't have to, you're saying.
I was reviewing the questions like the last day prior to, just trying to like organize myself, but I couldn't think of anything, and I can't think of anything right now. I was like, the main thing is I just wanted to be grateful for you, your brother Jay, your family, everyone at Bucktown. And honestly, if it wasn't for you guys, I probably be lost somewhere. I just, or you know, wouldn't be doing what I wanted to do, and I wouldn't be able to experience this friendship that came through. And yeah, man, just fucking love you guys, man. You guys are awesome.
Love you too, man. Like that's an emotion that most people don't know what it feels like. Like true fucking like friendship and love. And it's kind of sad, isn't it?
Like, I know. Yeah. You know?
Some people hang out with these friends that aren't even their real friends. Like, they'll turn on them in 5 seconds. I would never, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. And you said it before was during your sheriff's. I'm going to go back to your second thing we just talked about was during sheriff's training, you actually went to therapy, you know, and a guy like you is a person exactly who I would never think needed to. Right. Or wanted to. But for you to say that, thank you, because a lot of people don't, because there's obviously the stigma behind and a man going to seek help or a man going to talk to someone completely different. You know, do you have any thoughts on that? Why did you choose to do that?
Yeah. So I was in the relationship during that time, and this was pretty much an on and off relationship. So, my previous ex, she was very big into fitness and everything like that. And her page was growing like substantially, like super, like she has like hundreds and thousands of followers. She's doing very well. My thing was, I was jealous, but I didn't realize that. So I was jealous of her success because it wasn't coming at the same rate of speed that I wanted for myself. So I'm over here trying to like figure out, why is she getting this super crazy jump of progress where I'm still here at one or two fights, or just a couple of jiu-jitsu matches, and I'm just like, you know, like I like in my head I always put pressure on myself. I'm like, the timetable is, all right, I'm 27, 26, I have to be pro by like 28, 29 or whatever, so I gotta get a lot of experience in or whatever. But it's different because me and her are doing two different things, you know. Fitness and fighting is two different things. You can't expedite your growth in fighting. You have to fight, obviously. You have to train. You have to cross all your T's and dot all your I's. So, but for her, I was very jealous, you know. And within me being jealous, I didn't support her in her journey, in her fitness journey. I stopped recording her workouts. I stopped just showing up like at her house and stuff like that. I kind of like neglected her son as well. I just did stuff that only correlated to me. And if it didn't correlate to me, I didn't do it. So at the end of the day, the relationship deteriorated. It was on and off, on and off, on and off. But we never learned. We did. I'm sorry, the radio.
It's okay.
But yeah. But I literally just super jealous. And it took me what, the fifth time we broke up and got back together to realize that. And I was just like, damn, like I'm a fucked up person. Like I have a lot of shit like wrong with me. Like there's times when we'll just have conversations and I'll just be like, if this isn't about me or is not helping me, I don't want to be here. And I was just being very selfish, just because of that. And I didn't realize that. And I was like, all right, so that's one thing. I'm not happy for somebody else's success. I have anxiety issues. I can't be alone. So every time I'll get out of a relationship, I'll jump into another one just because I didn't want to be alone. I didn't want to face myself. So the way I faced myself was going to therapy, speaking to someone completely outside of my realm who doesn't know me, who doesn't know anything about me, so I can start fresh. You know, like I always use middle school, high school, and college as fresh starts. I have these 4 years, I could be this person in high school, I could be this person. I always wanted to be the popular kid in high school. I achieved that. Now in college, now I can figure out who I really am. Then everybody use that same exact template. You know, like college is where you find out who you are, what do you want to be for the rest of your life, X, Y, Z. So finally going into therapy made me realize that there was just a lot wrong with me. And then on top of that, going into the police academy, I seen how a lot of people mirrored the same way I was. And they weren't mentally mature enough to become officers, in my opinion, because their mindsets were very, very, I don't want to say simple, but I want to say it's just, it's very narrow-minded, you know. It's they're not thinking broadly. They're not thinking about the big picture. They're not thinking about, you know, like what you do here in the academy is going to mirror your career when you're out there on the field, you know. And you're playing high risk poker at that point, because this is your life on the line, you know. And a lot of people didn't realize that. Even when people were asked the very first day, why do you want to be a police officer, some people just said the same thing. A lot of people said the same exact responses. They said they just want to have a pension. They want a sustainable job. You know, they want to serve their community. They know they're fucking lying because they don't know what else to say. So they're going to say that. Some people, they might believe it, but you could tell. You can tell when someone's lying. But me, it was more deeper than that. You know, like no one helped my mother out except a police officer at her time of need, you know. And that really resonated to me. And I still, to this day, like, I still remember when the police officer broke down the door and arrested my dad. And, you know, like, ever since then, I was like, wow, like, this is the only person that's ever helped my mom out in her toughest times, you know?
Right.
And I want to be that for other people too. And when I was called upon to be the class leader of this, of my actual academy class, I was still going to therapy. So I'm trying to figure out how to be a leader, because I've never been a leader. I'm trying to figure out how to manage 55 other people with their personalities, their strengths, their weaknesses. And I'm dealing with the pressure of the drill instructors telling me that I have to get all my classmates in line and have their shit together, or I'm going to be the one receiving the punishment for it.
Right.
So I'm dealing with all those things. And then now my anxiety is building up. So now I think it was a perfect time for me to enter, therapy, just because there was just so much going on, you know. I was just getting out of a relationship, and now I'm alone. I'm the class leader. I'm dealing with anxiety. I'm dealing with 55 other people,
right.
And now I didn't know what I was doing. I was literally YouTubing how to be a leader, you know, Googling stuff too, you know. And I was just jotting down notes and stuff like that, trying to be organized, you know. Even at one point, I made like flashcards with like everybody's names, their emails, their phone numbers, X, Y, and Z. That's I just. You know, when I do something, I want to do it correctly, you know, and I want to make sure that people know that I'm putting in the effort and time. So,
Absolutely.
yeah,
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You're like a chef. Right, you gotta ingredients gotta
that's
be on
what
point, right? It's gotta be on
exactly
point.
that. There you
Especially a
go. That's why.
baker. You're baking something, it's science. You can't fuck
Yeah,
around. You have a little play
exactly.
when cooking, but still gotta you gotta be very precise for it to taste as you want it to, right? And that's the
Exactly.
same thing with the outcome in life. It's like, what's your recipe? You know, if you don't know it, well then you don't know what the fuck you're cooking. You know, it's
Exactly.
like and like you said, high school, college, I was just trying to be popular, this and that. That's not really who you are. You know, you found your way through fighting. You found your way through putting on gloves and getting sweaty and getting into challenging moments that actually will define you in different ways. You know, it's great for you to even to think about. Most people won't. Most people would take that anxiety and stuff it down with alcohol. Most people will take that pressure and smoke it away. And that's I'm not saying it's right or wrong, right? But there's an easy recepi, right, for you to do, for you to follow. Like work out, eat right, talk to someone. I don't care if fucking if you go to therapy or not, talk to people. And it kind of keeps moving. It's simple, but it's also complicated as well, right? There's a different form of simple there. But man, I want to thank you because time is coming up and that sucks, but I'm sure we'll have you again at some
Of
point in
course, I
time.
would love to be here.
Perfect. I want to thank you so much for coming out, man. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge with us. Thank you for sharing your stories. Even more importantly, if you guys need to reach Jason, again, it's J underscore aesthetics with two S's, correct? On Instagram?
Three.
Three S's. And if not, he's going to change it to I am Jason Melendez. Hopefully you'll find it. Just fucking look up Jason Melendez. It'll pop up. And it's a guy probably punching someone or his blonde hair. Usually has blonde hair. You still blonde hair? Yeah. You'll have to look at the computer down there, make sure you have blonde hair. But thank you again.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate you, man. Love you, brother.
Love you, man. Love you. And guys, we'll talk to you next week. And we're going to talk about failure because I already did it and you'll be hearing about it. So tune in next week to episode 106, The Fear of Failing. I think that's what it's called. I don't know yet. And we will talk to you guys later. Am I supposed to say something else? I don't remember. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. See you guys later.